Last time on Dreams of Another Woman's Star.
No one really knows what dark energy is.
I mean, we're light years away from doing this, but dark energy moves stuff. So, if it can move planets and galaxies, why can't we use it to turn a crankshaft?
There are aliens, and the ship is traveling faster than light. Tell me that you experienced the whole thing as though your mind is a passenger in someone else's body. Somebody light years and centuries away from you. You're having dreams or visions or whatever you want to call them. They're telling you that in a few centuries, the company you're working for will become, what, rival for some kind of alien United Nations?
The Gravellans have issued a call for assistance.
That was a splinter group which speaks for its own membership only and had no authority to issue such a request on behalf of the entire populace.
Can we step back a moment, please? Whom am I addressing?
Commandant Gerda Lee, and now that we all know who we are, go away.
Computer, what are the objects circling the EAC ships?
94% likelihood they are unmanned drones.
Three of those pods surrounding each of the other ships. I want our 9 biggest guns aimed straight at those pods. On my mark. Now.
There was an explosion and she hit her head.
When she went under, everything went black. I tried calling out, something I never did before.
If I'm not very much mistaken, for the first time, Captain Astrid might know about me.
I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but sometimes I'll be driving down the road and I'll look at a house and see into one of the windows. Maybe I'll see a painting or something. And then I realize there are people living in that house. They live whole lives of which I will never, never know anything. I will never know the story of how their life wound up in a place where they owned that painting. And then I start to notice the cars around me, and I stop seeing cars, but instead they're these mobile shells. Inside are people who think thoughts I will never know, make plans I will never be a part of. I get so overwhelmed with the idea that there are all these humans, all these lives. And I have no idea how similarly they experience what a day is like as opposed to how I experience it.
It's common enough that it has a name, though you won't find it in a medical dictionary. Some people call it Sonder. How often do you have this feeling?
It's more common since all this started. It's also the closest thing I can think of as to what it felt like when Captain Astrid passed out. Except instead of becoming aware of everyone else, I became aware of me. I remembered I wasn't just looking through someone else's eyes. I had my own thoughts about what I was looking at.
You remembered that? Or you realized it for the first time?
I realized it for the first time while I was doing it. I realized it, at least subconsciously, while I was awake, but in the...
You still have trouble when you catch yourself about to say the word dream. Do you notice that?
I do.
And why do you think that is?
Because if I start calling it a dream, that's all it is. It's only a dream. There's no reality. No part of it which is true. And that doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right that you would have a dream?
No. It doesn't feel right that everything that happened, that keeps happening, on that ship is only a dream.
What does an alien smell like?
What?
You say you experienced this as more than just a dream. It feels too real to be a dream. Maybe it would help if we could find where that reality breaks down. You say you see the world through Captain Astra's eyes, but it's more than that. So what does an alien smell like?
Which one?
I'm not picky.
Ambassador Golnix wears a cologne. I usually think of it as earthy, but really so. He smells like soil in a fairly dry climate. But I know if he weren't wearing the cologne, it would be a more sour smell, like pajamas you had night sweats in. Karana smells like detergent. Her species doesn't sweat, so the scent of her cleaning products lingers. Her breath is more pungent than a human's. It's not usually a bad smell, just more prominent. Like the air she's breathing out is thicker than the air in the ship, and it's diffusing as rapidly as it can.
I see. And that is consistent? Every time you dream about them?
It's the same.
That is... more detail than I would expect from a dream. It's unusual.
So, what do you think is wrong with me?
What do you think is wrong with you?
Is this one of those things where my therapist only answers my questions with questions?
No. This is where your therapist knows who she's dealing with. You're a researcher, Dr. Astrid. It's not just part of your job, it's how you approach almost every aspect of your life. You've looked up your symptoms, probably in the kind of academic journals a layman wouldn't even normally be able to locate. So, what did you find? Yes?
I think.
No, you don't. You are absolutely clear on this, but you don't want to say it out loud. That is avoidance, and it's not healthy. You believe something to be true, which demonstrably isn't. What is that called?
Delusional.
The fact that you could say that at all has me more optimistic than anything else we've done. It's an extremely important breakthrough because it means, first and foremost, that there's hope.
Ugh.
Are you experiencing any discomfort?
I'm fine. Report.
No.
What?
One does not report to someone who has been relieved of command due to medical reasons. As a matter of fact, as I am your doctor and you are a patient, you are the one who's reporting to me. The sooner you understand that, the smoother this will go.
You relieved me of command?
Yes, because that is the accepted procedure when a commanding officer is unconscious.
How bad were the casualties?
I don't know yet. The casualty I'm currently trying to diagnose has failed to provide me with any information to be able to answer that question.
Dr. Bovling.
The ship is in no immediate danger, and while there were multiple injuries, the majority of them were minor. Of the ones that were not, you, as an individual with minimal medical training, can do exactly nothing about them. You are not responsible for the well-being of this ship at the moment, Captain Astrid. You are responsible for letting me help you. Now I ask you again, are you feeling any discomfort?
I told you, I'm fine.
I see. Patient shows signs of nerve damage.
What?
You were struck in the head by a piece of debris during an explosion which threw you at least 10 feet across the bridge. You have multiple contusions, some first-degree burns, and a hairline fracture in your left tibia. The only possible way that you are not in considerable discomfort is if you have severe nerve damage which is blocking your pain receptors.
Fine. Yes. I feel like I fell down a flight of stairs into a scalding hot puddle of water.
Where are you feeling most of the pain?
My head. The light is giving me a small headache behind my right eye. My left hand is very tender. I'm guessing that's the burns you mentioned under the bandages. The left leg is also aching.
Nothing about that seems out of place. Obviously, the head injury is the most concerning issue. We already started some initial treatments while you were out, and I'm going to suggest we start you on a longer-term treatment as soon as possible. There is no such thing as a minor head injury, particularly if it led to a loss of consciousness.
And by suggest, you mean...
Ethically, I cannot force a patient to accept treatment. But if you don't agree to it, I'm well within my rights, not to mention sound medical judgment, to not clear you for command.
How is the captain?
I am currently talking to the captain, Karana.
Captain Astrid?
No, Dora. I appreciate your loyalty, but we are in hostile territory. The chain of command must be clear. I've been relieved of duty, so Karana is your commanding officer.
Yes, ma'am.
May I request, not order. Some information, Doctor?
There are two options for pain relief for you. I can provide you with something which will be effective, but will make you drowsy. Or I can provide you with something which will take the edge off the pain, but let you continue to function without cognitive impairment. If I allow you 10 minutes for this briefing, will you agree to take the first option?
Since the alternative is being wide awake but not being able to do anything? Acceptable.
I'll be back soon.
What can you tell me?
Repairs are at 96%. Damage sustained to the ship was minimal, though the worst of it occurred on the bridge.
That's where I would have targeted. What hit us exactly?
That's frankly the issue. Damage is consistent with a massive explosion just off the hull.
One of the drones?
That's just it. The three drones were a quarter kilometer away when we fired. Our sensors indicate two of them were destroyed. The third one also appears to have exploded. But it was suddenly and inexplicably not in the same location. Instead of exploding far away from the ship, it collided with one of our missiles almost before it had fully left the barrel.
That makes no sense.
I would tend to agree. I am operating under the assumption that the drones are somehow able to mask their distance from our ship. It seems more likely than a solid object suddenly moving at near-light speeds. I've sent a copy of our sensor readings and a communication drone back to the Alliance.
What does Hitomi think?
I've not discussed this with our chief engineer. She's been overseeing the repairs to the ship, which I felt took priority. Do you disagree?
Whether I do or don't, there's no point in second-guessing you. Or in you second-guessing yourself. This is your ship for the time being. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Dora, I'm going to ask you a strange question now.
Ma'am?
This may be the head injury talking, but I have a memory. Or a feeling of a memory, anyway. Maybe it was just a dream. But did we have an intruder on board?
An intruder?
I had a sense. I suppose I still do. But there was this sense of someone being here who wasn't supposed to be. Or maybe just a hyper-intense feeling that I'm being watched.
I'm not sure about that, Captain. But just to be on the safe side, I can run a full security log scan. We can make sure no improper transmissions went out or in. I'll let you, that is. I will inform Captain Karana of my findings if you are not back in command when we are done.
Well said. And no intruders either? There's no one here on the ship who shouldn't be, correct?
Not unless you count the survivors of the EGAC ship we picked up out of their escape pods.
Say that again, slowly.
Ready for lunch, you two? They splurged and brought in caterers since the bigwigs are here for the dog and pony show.
10 more minutes? Sorry, but we're making some adjustments to the testing array.
It'll be more like 5.
I'm not in a rush, Harry. So what's this test gonna do?
Absolutely nothing.
You don't know that.
I do, in fact. We're taking a completely theoretical concept and trying to give it a real-world application. Since we don't even know what we don't know, we also can't expect to have everything set up correctly. It's like trying to pick up a TV signal when you don't even know how large of an antenna to use.
If people still used antennae to pick up TV signals.
Well, to be fair, if this works at all, in 20 years, people are going to look at this testing array the same way we look at televisions with rabbit ears or incandescent light bulbs. That's just kind of how technology works. You have to make it work at all before you can make it work well.
But we're still in day one of testing, so this isn't going to work. At all. But we have to try anyway.
And if you'll give me a moment to set the parameters, we can let the experiment decide if it's going to succeed or not.
You all right?
Headaches. The doctor said it was one of the most likely side effects of the new meds.
Ugh. Sorry to hear it. You don't have to talk about it if you don't...
No. I told you. I want everything out in the open. At least with the people I deal with on a daily basis. That way, if something goes seriously wrong, someone can recognize it if I can't. Which, I'm sad to say, is a possibility. I'm currently sick to my stomach and a little hyperactive.
You're having trouble sleeping because of these dreams, and they gave you a stimulant?
Medications for delusional disorder are... sketchy.
That isn't a very scientific word.
Because it isn't scientifically sound. Delusion without underlying causes like schizophrenia is rare. Or maybe it isn't. But it's underdiagnosed. People don't seek treatment for this under normal circumstances. If you have a delusion that your neighbor is plotting to kill you, you might talk to the cops, but not to a psychiatrist. I don't have a large enough pool of patients to be able to draw conclusions about what works.
So you try the sketchy stuff?
We try the sketchy stuff.
Still having the dreams?
Yes. But the medication hasn't really had enough time to start working, so that doesn't mean much. It was a fairly boring dream, if that makes any difference. Captain Astrid was in recovery after her injury. She was reading.
I didn't think you could read in a dream.
I'm trying not to dwell on that. It reinforces the delusion.
Okay, I'm done over here.
Thanks, Harry.
So what is supposed to happen, or not happen here?
The idea is that dark energy increases the space between things. That's why we're focusing it on this little tank of water.
If we used a solid, the energy might not be strong enough to break it apart. Or it might be. And then we have the potential for shrapnel.
And a gas would be more difficult to detect. Though we might be moving to some kind of colored vapor eventually if we can't make the beam strong enough.
If we keep temperature and pressure the same, the volume of the water shouldn't change. But if it does, it's a good sign that we introduce more space between the water molecules.
Not that that will happen.
Well, let's find out. Okay, fine. You were right.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense.
You being right doesn't make sense?
Harry, the volume went down. Not by much, but there's less water in the tank.
But, wait, that doesn't make any sense. How could it have decreased space between the molecules?
Temperature and pressure are the same, so where did...
Guys, is it relevant that my glasses just got wet?
What is this?
It's a welcome back to command gift.
You're giving me a hunk of shrapnel.
I'm giving you a hunk of shrapnel which didn't injure you or anyone on the ship.
Is this meant to be sobering?
It's meant to be the gift I had time to give you.
Which, considering how busy you've been, is extremely touching. Every part of the ship is under my watch. This one included.
So how's it feel to be back in the big chair?
I haven't actually made it up to the bridge. Any chance you have some time now?
I'm going to need some shut-eye soon, but with the caffeine I've had, that won't be coming in the next hour or two.
I'm good with that. We're off to the brig.
Wait, what?
We'll be reaching Planet Gravel soon. I want to talk to our prisoners about the drones they sent to attack us.
You think they'll tell you anything?
Absolutely not.
I see. Well, happy to be a part of that. I'm here to keep you company in case you get bored.
Right now, standing orders are that if we see any more of these drones, we shoot them immediately before they can activate. I am going to this interrogation on the off chance that they provide me with any tactical information. You are coming on the off chance that they provide any technical information. If we learn how the drones work, I'm certainly not going to be the one to design a countermeasure to that technology.
So, if we learn nothing, I might get to sleep. But if we learn something, we're more likely to survive.
I'm perfectly okay with you passing on anything you learn to the next watch and letting them work it out while you get some sleep.
Captain, I love you like a sister, but you have no idea how an engineer's mind works. You can't just give me a technical puzzle to solve and then tell me to go to sleep.
It's just possible that I'm a horrible big sister.
Captain, good to see you up and about.
Ambassador Golnix.
Itomi.
Nai-nai-do-Chris.
What?
Oh, that's his first name. Didn't he tell you?
It's actually an awful mispronunciation of my given name, and something which would never normally be used in a professional setting.
And he hates that name anyway. It's sort of like a human with the name Rutherford. They're guaranteed to never use it if they can help it.
I see. We are about to pass through a door to confront a prisoner. We will be presenting a united front, despite how poorly you two get along. That is a direct order. And my last word on the subject. Hello.
Gerda Lee, Commandant, Alpha 761 Tango.
You have been listening to Dreams of Another Woman's Star, Episode 3, Sonder, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Captain Astrid and Dr. Amy Astrid were Andy Gastingy. Pamela the Therapist was Liz Music. Dr. Bovlin was Ray Greenlee. Karana was Jill Wenzel. Dora was Dana Bonner Andreessen. Nick was Rick Tennant. Dr. Harry London was Aaron Manka White. Itomi was Rebecca Scheimer. Ambassador Golnix was Andrew Dell. And Commandant Lee was Brianna Kubi. Music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, everyone. Talk to you later.